Cheers Cast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Listen, Kelly's Woody's girlfriend. Well, I'm sure you could have any woman you wanted.
I know, but Kelly is so innocent and naive. I love to change that.
Well, I'm kind of torn here. I mean, Woody's my closest friend, but that is a real solid argument. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello, and welcome back to Cheers Cast, a podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and my guest this episode, just like Woody's girlfriend, he's been gone for a year. But I'm glad to have him back. Please welcome Eric Elias. What's going on, Eric?
Bonjour. I know if I hopped across the pond to come here and say, I'm going to steal your Cheers Cast.
You know, I was like, when I introduce him, it would be great if he starts with bonjour. I didn't want to feed it to you, but then you hit it. I was like, perfect. If that wasn't enough of a tease, this is a big one. This is an episode I've been looking forward to for a long time. Just three episodes ago, we got the introduction of John Allen Hill, Sam's nemesis. Well, this time, we're going to meet Woody's nemesis, because we are talking about Season 9, Episode 12, Woody Interruptus. This one written by Dan Staley and Rob Long, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, December 13th, 1990. Woody's girlfriend, Kelly, returns from studying abroad for a year, and Woody couldn't be more excited to see her. He's considerably less excited to see the man she's brought with her, Henri, a French photography teacher who says he's going to steal her away from Woody. Kelly thinks Henri is joking. He's really not. Woody is seriously concerned that Henri might sleep with Kelly, something Woody hasn't even done. On Sam's advice, Woody takes Kelly to a motel where they can make love for the first time and thwart Henri's sleazy scheme. Carla shows up at their motel room, however, and begs them to stop. She tells them that having sex for the wrong reason could damage their relationship forever, and uses her own experiences as an example. Woody and Kelly take Carla's advice and decide to wait. But since the motel room is already paid for, Carla might as well use it to seduce Henri. Meanwhile, the gang makes fun of Cliff for wanting to cryogenically freeze his brain when he dies. Several pranks ensue. All right, Eric, called this one several years ago. You asked me for this because this is such a fun one. But what overall big picture thoughts on this one?
It's arguably my favorite episode of Cheers. So when I was a kid, I had three episodes of Cheers recorded on a VHS. It was this episode, Woody's wedding, and the finale. So,
nice.
I think this episode is the one I've seen more than any other Cheers episode. So, and it's always been my favorite. I felt like it's the one episode, it was just nonstop laugh. Like, it was just, I think I heard the crowd laugh more times than any other episode. I could be wrong, but everything was just perfect. Picking a home run for this episode is going to be incredibly hard. I might break some MLB records because I'm going to try to, you know, whittle it down to three. This is my absolute favorite episode. And like you said, John Allen Hill and Henri, the intros to both of those characters right near each other was just like chef's kiss. This was perfect.
It's really incredible. And even after all this time, when I come to this one, I think first appearance of Henri, and I know how funny that is. And I know this character, we'll see him a couple of times in the next couple of seasons. And he's great. And I had his introduction memorized. I always forget that this is also the episode with the cryogenically frozen thing and the pranks that kind of ensue after this. And I was like, that take up like a good chunk of the last half. And I was like, and those are funny. And those are much more physical, broad comedy things, but they're great. And you're right. Like this one is just like wall to wall laughs and not for nothing. But this episode, James Burrows won the Emmy this year for outstanding director in a comedy series for this particular episode.
Yeah. And it's like every single person nailed what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And I really love Sam in this episode. I felt like his reactions and the way he said things were just like only Ted Danson can do that.
Well,
I know we'll talk about it later, but it's just everything was just so perfect in this episode. And it's funny how they for direction, and I have a feeling that the Woody's running with the stool probably was a big proponent.
I think that was a big part of it. And like, but also like the whole gag with like how they staged Norm's entrance at the end from the pool room with the shading and all that. There's a lot going on, but yeah. Anyway, let's actually get to it so the listeners can find out what we're talking about. For our teaser, interesting teaser. This is another thing that might have contributed to the directing because we get an entire exterior scene in front of the bar. And this does become fairly common in the last couple seasons, but I can't remember if we've seen it before. Like,
I think we have seen a couple of outside ones.
Like full scenes? I don't remember. Like,
wasn't there one with the holiday one, or maybe that's later on.
The Christmas one. Yeah, well, that one was, when Sam is out shopping and stuff like that. But, did we get to the one? There's one where Sam is like spending the entire day talking to somebody about his misfortune and losing the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Frasier. Okay, so it feels like the first time in a long time. But it's outside, it's nighttime. We get like the whole, it's the facade of the bar on Beacon Street. And Norm is coming up the stairs, actually leaving the bar for once. And it's obviously cold, and he sees Carla. She's parked right in front, and she got her hood up, and she's trying to like work on the inside of the car and the engine. And Norma's like, "Oh yeah, you having car trouble?" And she's like, "Yeah, every time it gets this cold, my battery always dies." And he's like, "Well, do you need me to help you get it started?" And she's like, "Nope, I got a new battery right here." And she picks the battery up out of the car and starts walking. She's like, "Walk away real fast, Norm." Like, shut the hood and start walking. And you can just tell it dawns on him. It's like, Oh, I'm an accessory to a car, to a robbery now. Okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny intro.
Yeah. When we come back from the credits, Woody walks in and he is dressed up really nice and he is excited because Kelly is coming back from studying abroad in Europe. And this exchange, Frasier's like, "Oh, she's hopping the pond." And Woody's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "It's a reference to the Atlantic." Dr. Crane, the Atlantic is an ocean, not a pond. And he's like, "How many of those have you had?" The drink that it said. Woody actually thinks Frasier is too drunk to know.
Yeah. He's never put ice in Norm's beer, but he's going to put ice in Frasier's.
Yeah. Because how many of those drinks have you had? And Frasier's like, "Apparently not enough." And Woody's like, "Yeah, gosh, it feels like Kelly's been gone for a full year." Or it feels like Kelly's been gone for a year. And Frasier's like, "How long has it been?" A year. And Frasier's like, "You want me to put some ice in that drink for you?" Like, to water it down. You just see Frasier rolling his eyes. So then Cliff comes in here and he says that he put a down payment on immortality. And Norm is like, "What are you talking about?" And there's just this moment where everybody just kind of like looks at him. And Paul, but he just like elbows Norm. He's like, "I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. It just slipped out."
Yeah, like, but you know what? He's going to say it anyway.
He will.
You know he's going to say it anyway.
So Cliff talks about cryogenics, which... I'm sure this was the first time I ever, and I was still really young when I saw this, but I'm sure I had never heard of cryogenics before this one, before seeing this episode, because they make a big deal about it, how he'll be frozen when it's his time to die, he'll be frozen, and then they can thaw him out later, and like Rebecca seems kind of interested in this, and they're like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, he says something like that, "After I'm frozen, I'll be declared brain dead," and Carla jokes, she's like, "Oh, that's a tough call."
Like, you know, whenever he says something like that, like, "Where's Carla?" You're like looking for her, because you know she's going to pop up out of nowhere.
Exactly. And he's got a little catalog about it, and Rebecca's looking through, she's like, "These catalogs look kind of small," and Cliff reveals, "They don't freeze the whole body. They only freeze the brain pan." They're like, "They cut your head off?" Sam is like, "What do they do with the rest of your body? Just throw it in the trash?" Carl's like, "Well, that's a start."
The brain pan. I still can't get over that. The brain pan.
The brain pan. And then they start just running into these jokes. It's like, okay, would this corporation happen to be run by a dog food company? Any chance, Cliff? And they're like, when it's time to thaw him out, they just plop his head in boiling water. It's like, this is science fiction, not lean cuisine. And then Frasier sticks up for Cliff, and he does this whole little thing where he's like, "Look, I'm not, you know, not, maybe this whole thing is crazy, but we don't know. We can't predict the future." And he has this weird line. He's like, what we don't know what life will be like in the year 2278 or something. And this is kind of crazy. This was on IMDb's trivia. I didn't know this, but I looked up and this is exactly what it says. I'm just reading word for word here. It says, referring to Cliff's interest in cryogenics, Frasier says that he does not necessarily believe that Cliff's severed head will be brought back to life in the year 2278. But who knows? I mean, who can predict the future? A little over a year later, Kelsey Grammer appeared on Star Trek The Next Generation, which takes place in the 24th century, in Cause and Effect, that's the episode title, as the captain of a starship that was caught in a time loop for decades. He is asked if he knows what the year is, and Kelsey Grammer's character replies, of course I do. It's 2278. So
that had to have been an Easter egg or something.
The writers of that episode of Star Trek must have. And I'd seen two episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation, so I asked some of my buddies on the network. I was like, "Can anybody confirm this?" And they were like, "Yeah, that's true." And they didn't know about the Cheers connection, so they're like, "Wow, Cheers referenced that Star Trek." I'm like, "No, other way around. Cheers did it first." So. Another little weird bit of trivia thing that I just saw, this was mentioned on IMDb, and I looked for it. You can see it. During this whole scene, Sam is wearing a wedding ring just because Ted Danson is married and has a ring, and he must have forgotten to take it off while they were filming. So,
yeah, somebody got fired over that.
Yeah. And they still got the Emmy Award for directing?
In spite of it.
Yeah. So Cliff storms out because they're making fun of him. And as he walks out, Kelly comes back in and Woody does his whole jumping over the bar, which is a classic move. And he runs into her arms and they hug. And she's so excited that she got him a gift. She got them this nice little a beret and this like nice little, cloth one, like, or a hair, maybe a herringbone or something like that. It looked nice. And she's like, it was between this one or one with an arrow in it. And Woody can't hide his disappointment. He's like, oh, this is pretty nice. And she's like, I got you both. And then they're like, well, what do you want to do? And I don't know, what do you want to do? And of course they're like, oh, this is just like old times. And Kelly's like, well, maybe Henri will have some ideas of what to do. And Woody's like, who is that? And in walks Henri. It like sort of stereotypical. He's just like tall, live, dark hair, like goatee, black turtleneck, black pants, like just like everything. being at a very young and impressionable age, this colored my impression of like French people and everything this episode for a long time after this. Really, until I met Siskoid on this network, co-host of the show. Yeah, and like the whole thing with him being a jerk and everything. And I know that this was sort of playing into a lot of stereotypes that America had about the French at this time period, but they do really, really play it up. And it's always funny, like I said, Anthony Sestero plays the character and he is not French. He's putting on an accent. It's funny, you'll actually hear what his real voice sounds like later on next season. Maybe it's season. I think it's next season.
Yeah, I think it's next season.
Yeah, it's next season. Yeah, it's before they get married. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a whole lot after this, like in terms of like big projects. Like, he didn't become like really well known. He worked constantly, but never on like a really big thing that you would recognize.
And yeah, and it's like he looks so different than how they portray him on Cheers. Because the first thing I ever recognized him after this was Seinfeld when he was Joel Rifkin.
Yes.
This person with the same serial killer name. Yeah. And then the other show that I noticed him on was one of my favorite shows that Netflix had, Sense8. So he was an agent in the show Sense8 for like a few episodes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I recognized him, but it just, you had to look at him for like a few seconds, like, oh yeah, I see it now. So those were like the only two things. I know he's been in all of other stuff, those are the two things that I recognized him from.
Mm-hmm. Kelly introduces, she's like, this is my friend, my best friend from France. She's like, Henri, say hi to Woody. And he's like, oh, Woody. And he walks, he's like, give me $40 and I have to pay for the cab. So Woody gives him the money, and Henri just does this, "I'll be right back." And he just like holds Kelly and locks eyes with her like so intently and kisses her slowly and deliberately on each cheek. And then even as he's walking away, he's keeping his eyes on her like the whole time. It's like predatory in like the most unnatural way.
And $40 for a cab seems like today's money. Like there's no way that cab was $40. That cab was probably $5.
Right, exactly. In 1990. And Woody's like, "Kelly, did that guy just take me for $40, kiss you, and leave?" And she's like, "Oh, you're so American." She's like, "Henri is my photography teacher." And she says, "He taught her about French food. He showed her all of Paris. He taught her not to be ashamed of her body. He taught her history and art." And Woody's like, wait, go back a little bit. And he's like really obviously suspicious. And she's like, "No, Henri is just a friend. Sure, he's always joking about stealing Kelly away from Woody, but that's just a joke." And she mentions it to when Henri comes back. She's like, "Woody thinks that you're actually trying to steal me away." And Henri starts laughing and walks right by Woody to go hug Kelly and like pull her in to the spot.
The laugh always gets me.
Exactly. And like just like the body language. And then he just turns to Woody. He's like, "I am trying to steal her right out from under your nose." And then she's like, "Isn't that funny?" And Woody kind of gives us a laugh. He's like, "That's a good one. Now I got one for you. Get your damn hands off my girlfriend." And she's like, "Kelly," and Kelly like pulled him back to the pool room. She's like, "Woody, you're being really rude to Henri." He's like, "He's being rude to me. He's supposed to be rude. He's French." This will be an evergreen statement, but this could have been my home run for the episode.
Sam, that beginning just nonstop is just like we're gonna literally just go through like the entire episode. It's like every word.
Yeah, it's incredible because Sam introduces himself. He's like, "Hey, I'm Sam Malone," and she's like, "Oh, I've heard of you." And he's like, "Oh, do you follow baseball in France?" He's like, "No, stewardesses." It's like. We found out, okay, but kind of like a shared interest in like sort of being womanizers. And Henri says that, you know, when he first walked in, he thought Sam might have been Woody, and then that kind of made him worry. That is like, but then once he realized who Woody really was, like, "Oh, then I wasn't worried because there's no competition." And he's like, "I could steal Kelly away with both hands tied behind my back." And then he just kind of, kind of like stops as it dawns on him. He's like, "That's a thought. Maybe I should try that." And the audience really picks up on that too. That gets a big laugh for just like this little ooh. And Sam was like, "Look, Kelly is Woody's girl. Okay, you can have any girl you want, I'm sure." And Henri's like, "Oh yeah, obviously I could, but he wants Kelly because she's so trusting and innocent, and he loves to change that." And you just see Sam kind of having this moment of doubt. He's like, "I'm torn here. Woody's my closest friend, but that is a real solid argument."
That's one of my favorite moments of the episode. Just the way Sam like reacts to that and says the way he says it is just perfect. Mm-hmm. And you knew it. You believed Sam when he says that because he is Henri.
Right. The proverbial bro code. It's like, no, when it comes to Sam, it might not work. But he says, you know, Woody could surprise you. He looks like a pushover, but he has this way with women. Cut to on the other side of the bar. Woody and Kelly come out of the pool room, and he is wearing the beret with the arrow stuck through it. And he's like, "Oh my God, I've been shot in the head." And Henri's like, "I'll take my chances."
And that's the first commercial after that, right? So like
this, right, we get a little break.
Yeah, amazing start.
Right. It's still the same day, but later on, Woody and Kelly come back, Woody, Kelly, and Henri come back, and they're in the middle of talking, and Henri's like, "I've got a joke. Knock, knock. Who's there, Henri?" He's like, "Henri, the guy who's going to steal your girlfriend." And then he's just like, "Woody, go get us some drinks." There's an episode later on with Henri where he's like, "Woody, get me a drink and pay for it." Carla and Sam are telling Woody not to take Henri's comments as jokes. She's like, you know, Carla's like, the French aren't exactly known for their sense of humor. And at this point, I should mention that several French-Canadian members of the Fire and Water Network are part of an improv comedy troupe, and they're great, and with much respect to them, the opinions in the segment voiced by the actors and cheers do not represent mine. So, but he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, their comedy hero is Jerry Lewis. And he's like, well, what's your point? And you can see Sam kind of offended by this. He's like, yeah, what's your point?
Yeah, it's like,
what's
like,
wrong
with
Jerry Lewis?
I don't know. See, it looked like Ted Danson was like disgusted by that comment.
So Henri now is going to teach Kelly how to tie a knot in a cherry stem with her tongue. And he's like, let's demonstrate. I'll be the cherry stem. And Woody has to like physically intervene. He breaks them up. And he's like, I know what you think. You think you're more sophisticated than me. You're classier than me. You're smarter than me. You got better hair than me. You're taller than me. You're strong jawline. He kind of looks away. He's like, what was my point? He's like, oh yeah, get out of here before I kick your butt back to the Eiffel Tower. And Irie's like, oh, look, I understand, but I feel like I should be able to speak in my own defense. He's like, all right, what do you have to say? Like, I'm going to steal your girlfriend. And Henri bolts away from him, but he tips Norm's chair down along the way. And Woody kind of like stumbles over. And I mean,
it looks like he was going to put it back. Then wasn't able to.
The way it happens, like this had to have happened organically. Like, yes. I don't think they could have scripted this and it worked out because it looks so awkward and clumsy because Henri tips the chair, Woody kind of stumbles over to get past it and then turns around, picks it up so that he can put it back, so that he can like correct it, like turn it, like put it back in its spot, but he can't really reach it because he's on the other side of the bar. So then he's like, he doesn't want to stop chasing Henri, but he can't put the bar down, and he's just like has this like brain lock moment where he's like, I don't know what to do. So he just keeps chasing Henri, but he's holding the chair the entire time. He runs out holding the chair. And the audience is like the laughter gets bigger and bigger as they're like, he's not letting go of the chair.
And they're like, you know what? Leave it in, it works.
Exactly. I'm sure Jay Burrows was like, I got the biggest last episode.
And that whole, what was my point? That they they did that like three times. And like, or I know, I remember Sam doing it maybe a couple times in the entire Cheers run. The same thing though. What was my point? Because I remember Sam's doing it as well.
Oh. So later on, some time has passed and Woody is like, you know, Kelly's really mad at him. And, you know, is it possible that she's mad because she really does like Henri? And he's worried that she's more protective of Henri's feelings than Woody's. And it's like, what, you know, is this going to be a real threat to our relationship? And Sam is like, well, how is your love life? And Woody's like, oh, I'm looking forward to it. He's like, you haven't had, and Woody's like, do you think, you know, that there's a chance that Kelly and Henri have been to, and Sam was like finishing the sentence for him, but like just kind of awkwardly to the back of the barn. Innocent pseudonym as far as he's concerned, but Woody just looks at him like, I was going to say go to bed together. What is the back of the barn? What does that mean? It's laughing. And Sam was like, okay, bad metaphor, just whatever, just go to it. And Woody just can't get over it. He's like, that's where the compost heap is. And there's more laughter, and Sam's like, fine, okay, it was a stupid thing. He's like, I can't think of a place less romantic.
Yeah, they really hit this one. They gave it like an extra few seconds too at the end.
They did. There's even like another bit where Woody doesn't have a line. He just kind of like looks at Rebecca and he's like, what? Like just kind of shrugs.
Like, you believe this?
So Sam is like, all right, I don't think that they've slept together yet, but he would be worried because he knows guys like Henri. Hell, he is a guy like Henri. So and they're like, well, you haven't slept with Kelly yet? And he's like, well, you know, we did once when we went to see old Gringo, but the whole row was snoring.
Yeah, and I looked at it, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen old Gringo. I know I heard the name, and I know it had Jane Fonda and Gregory Peck, right?
And Jimmy Smits.
Jimmy Smits. But it was like an enormous flop, right?
Yeah.
I remember it being like remember hearing that it was just a huge flop, even with the cast. And
so Woody, he's like, you know, he always figured that they would wait to have sex until after they were married. That's the way everybody does it back in Hanover, except for that couple that teaches art at the high school. filling in more of the tapestry that is our impression of Hanover.
I remember when him and Beth had that episode early on when we first got what didn't
right
he,
right yeah
didn't I thought I remember them saying they finally did it after a while.
You can take this as a retcon if you want to. I don't think Woody is definitely not a virgin at this point. He's been with Beth. I think he's been with other women. He's had other girlfriends at the time. But maybe it's just the fact that he and Kelly haven't been together yet.
That's the way I chose to take it, because I know he's not a virgin at this point. But
right.
Yeah.
But I just love that. He's like, everybody at the Hanover waits till after they're married, except for that couple that teaches art at high school.
Everybody's like, yep. Fact, and that makes sense.
There's a story behind that. Rebecca has this little monologue here, which they needed Kirstie Alley to do something. It doesn't really contribute much to it, but it's kind of funny. She's like, I wish I had waited till after I was married. And this just leads to a spiral of all of her mistakes. Going into business was a bad idea. Moving to Boston was a terrible idea. And just keeps going. She's like, and you can't pick your parents, although... If you could, I wish. She mentions Maureen O'Hara and I can't think of the actor, the guy's name from The Parent Trap. And she's like, Woody, is this helping you? And he's like, well, even if it's not, just thinking about The Parent Trap made me feel good.
So you got an old gringo and a Parent Trap reference. Yeah. Somebody really wanted to smack those in. And funny, like Kirstie Alley was in the Olsen Twins one movie, It Takes Two, which was basically... A take of Parent Trap.
Parent Trap.
Yeah. I think with Steve Guttenberg.
Yes, yeah.
Who I've actually met. When I used to work for Avis and Budget Rent a Car, he actually used to come to Long Island here in New York and rent cars.
Oh, nice. Woody asks Norm what his thoughts are on premarital sex, and Norm does his whole typical thing. He's like, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? And then you get married one day and you realize, oh, my God, I've married a cow. And Woody asks Sam, he's like, well, what if we do it? And then it becomes a crutch and we rely on it for the rest of our lives. Sam's like, well, then you know you did it, right? It's like, and Sam tells Woody, he's like, you got to go hurry, you know, do this before Henri beats you to it. And Woody's like, well, where can we do it? We can't do it in my place. And Sam's like, what about a motel? And Woody just kind of smiles. Sam, this is second nature to you, isn't it?
Yeah, and the way he did it. I think that's another part of the direction, like the way he did it. And yeah. It was just so perfect and so natural.
Right. And then, and then Sam, we don't even see because it's kind of underneath the line of sight of the bar, but Sam reaches into his pocket, hands something to Woody. Woody looks at a reaction like he's impressed and puts it in his own pocket and starts walking away. Now, I admit when I saw this when I was like, 9, I didn't realize he was getting him a condom. But after that, it was like, okay, pretty obvious and pretty funny and kind of clever about that.
Or chewing gum if you're a conehead.
There you go. But I just like that when Woody's like, this is second nature to you, isn't it? And out comes the condom. He's like,
and then the little
And then as Woody leaves, then Frasier and Cliff come back together with this other guy, Dr. Eckworth, our other guest star for this one, played by the actor Michael Keenan. His first appearance was in Green Acres, but he also appeared in Starsky and Hutch, Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He was in WKRP in Cincinnati, Hill Street Blues, St. Elsewhere, Picket Fences. A bunch of stuff. Not like a lot to just like one times. Out of those, like I remember because I watched Picket Fences when that was on, because that was contemporary, very around the same time, early 90s.
And you know what? I watched Picket Fences too when I was like, what, 8? But
yeah.
If you asked me anything about that show, I couldn't tell you one thing. I don't remember anything about it. And I remember watching it as a kid.
I remember because I was at a young, impressionable age when... The Tom Skerritt, the main character, the sheriff, his oldest son is having his first wet dreams, his first sexually explicit dreams, and they feature one of the women in the cast, the actress Lauren Holly, who plays another sheriff's deputy, and she's in her bra and panties like twice in that episode. And I just remember being at that age where I'm like, okay, this is something new. I was like, interesting. I like this actress.
Notate the time.
But I do remember that this guy who plays Dr. Eckwith, he was the mayor in the first season of the show. And I think he dies by spontaneous combustion. Like, that was like a whole plot thing. Like, they find out like he's dead and it's just like this, his bed is like charred. And they're like, who set him on fire? Who murdered the mayor? And they're like, nobody. He just burst into flames.
Yeah, and happens all the time.
Me being like a 10, I'm like, wait, that's a thing that happens?
You know what? I remember like the 90s and some of the 80s movies, like that was like, you heard about that a lot. Like he was spontaneously combusted. Or this guy, like, it was something that was, now you don't hear that.
Right.
Now you hear worse stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, the three of them, Fraser, Cliff, and this guy, Dr. Eckworth, they walk in and the doctor is carrying this large contraption, well, not large, but like a contraption. And he mentioned that it's a cryogenic contraption, and they say that he just performed the procedure before they came over for a drink. And he's like, yep, I'm on my way to, like, what's one of our clients right here? And Sam is, you're telling me you brought a severed head into the bar? And he looks back to the other guys like, we got to have a policy against that, don't we?
I'm like, where do they think he did this procedure that he would leave and then go to a bar and then bring it somewhere else?
Like, right, exactly. And Fraser and Liff, like, and Dr. Eckworth, they're like, hey, can I challenge you to do a game of darts, Doc? And they kind of just all walk away down the pool room, leaving this contraption just sitting at the end of the bar. And they're just staring at it. And Rebecca's like, what is that thing? And Norm's like, I don't know. Why don't you open it and find out? And Sam's like, don't open it. It's a frozen head. And she's like, oh, it's not. And you see, like, all of them, like Sam, Rebecca, Norm, Paul, like Tony, some of the other tertiary guys, they're all kind of crowding around it. And they're like, is it really a head? And they're like, no, of course it's not a head. There's nothing. They're just joking with us. And like, well, we got to find out. We got to ask and everything. So Sam opens the thing and just kind of pulls down. And we just get like this dry ice smoke effect coming out. And again, like another just sort of thing that we never see in this show, but a really cool effect for this episode. Again, contributing to why it won the Emmy. But you just see, like, you can't see, and it's just all black in there, just the smoke coming out of it. And they're like, I can't see anything. And you just hear this automated voice just going, help me. They scatter like cockroaches when the lights come on. You see, like, Sam and Rebecca can't get up the stairs fast enough. The others just like disappear. And Cliff and Fraser and Dr. Eckworth come out of the hallway just laughing. They got him. They pranked everybody. Great little joke. Funny. Fraser's like, thanks, Gene. It's like a colleague of mine. And he takes this empty thing and he kind of leaves. And then Cliff is like, ah, that was a great job pulling that prank with you, and Fraser. And now, of course, Cliff is acting like he's got a new best friend. He's like, we work well together. He's like, who do you want to prank next? He's like, I'd love to get the guys down to the postal office. Oh, my, I'd love to really get her. He starts walking away with his arm around Fraser, and Fraser just looks back and help me.
Perfect. You know what? I really love to know what that contraption is for. Why does that guy have it? Like, what is he using that for? He just had a spare body part holder.
I guess he's a scientist. They do transplant, right? Organs. Like, they could transplant a heart or a donor, like an organ donor, especially if they had to take it. Like, I mean, I don't think they actually put it in this giant metal briefcase looking thing. They put it in like a bucket with ice or something. But I don't know. They just made it in their shop or something. But anyway, cut to, we're in the motel room. Woody and Kelly come in. And the hotel manager was like, here you are, Mr. and Mrs. Malone, because of course they registered under Sam's thing. The night manager is played by Doug McHugh. He's in the movies Weird Science, Candyman. He was in Quantum Leap, Jake and the Fat Man. He's got this look about him, this kind of like severe look where, like, this guy, I've seen him before, and he always looks unhappy. He's just like born with a scowl on his face. But not like an angry, just like a, life sucks kind of scowl. And Woody is lying to him. He's like, oh, yeah, we had to get out of the house. The woman's a great cook, but, you know, we left some money, some food for the babysitter, and she's taking care of the kids. And the guy's just like, you're not married, are you? He's like, no, we're not. He's like, yeah, you really had me fooled.
Yeah. And Woody is an actor.
Yeah, exactly. Is he a good one, though? They're very both kind of nervous being alone for some reason. And then what should we do? Well, let's kiss. And then they start to kiss. Then Woody has gum in his mouth, which he has to get rid of. And then says his lips are kind of going numb because he's so nervous. And they're like, okay, let's lie down on the bed. And they lie down next to each other. And then Woody notices that it's a vibrating bed. It's got the coin-operated mechanisms on either side, on Kelly's side and Woody's side. And he wants to turn it on. So he goes to put a quarter in there, and he drops the quarter. He's like, oh, I dropped it. And it went behind the bed. So he crouches down, kind of reaches behind the bed, while Kelly fishes a quarter out of her purse. And she's like, I'll turn it on. And she turns it on the other side, and the bed just starts shaking. And you just see Woody's head getting rammed against the wall between this thing. And like, just again, like, for I think of this as the Henri episode, and I think of like Woody and Henri joking in their things, but there's so much like physical prop based humor in this episode that I completely forget about until I rewatch it.
And it appears that Woody had nothing in his pockets except one quarter.
They get the knock at the door. Woody goes to it, it's Carla. She's like, thank God I'm not too late. And she's like, I have to stop you guys. And Kelly's like, what? What's she talking about? And Carla's like, I'm talking about you guys getting together in this room for all the wrong reasons, which Woody then translates to for Kelly. She's talking about the two of us getting together for all the wrong reasons. Carla basically sits them down. She tells them that they shouldn't get together to make love for the wrong, just so that she can beat some French guy to the punch. They should do it because they're in love, not because of some competition. And she talks about the first time she came to this very motel when she was a teenager, and she got knocked up. And then that led to the next seven kids, and her whole life would change because of that one dumb decision. And then like Woody is like, you know, Woody and Kelly talk about it. And Woody's like, oh, I think we should wait. Kelly's like, until we're married. And he's like, well, no, until I can afford a nice place at the Four Seasons. And he's like, not this cheap motel. Sorry, no offense, Carla. I know this place has sentimental meaning to you.
And I'm sorry, but Carla comparing her 16-year-old self in a motel to two adults at this stage.
Right,
exactly. Not the same thing.
But perhaps Carla had an ulterior motive after all, because after they leave, she stays in the hotel room. She's like, you see, I told you we could get a free room. And the in walks Henri. And he walks in and he just kind of like turns around and looks around the room and then looks back at her, and she leans suggestively against the door. She's like, here I am, steal me away from Woody. And you just see Henri's eyes going big, like, whoa. He's
like,
what did I?
Like, I wonder if Carla was like, I can get Kelly alone with you. And like she used that as an in. But then I'm like, would Henri and Carla do something? Like, on Henri, I don't see him saying no. So, like, I feel like they would have gone through with something.
I imagine, yeah. Like, I can't see a situation where either of them say no.
Yeah.
I mean, it was her idea. She initiated it.
Oh, yeah. Carla's not saying no.
He's new in town. He's visiting. He's got a visa. And that could have been the end. But, no, we get one more short little scene. We are back at Cheers. It's not closing, but it's really dark. There are only a few people in there. And Cliff comes back. Frasier's alone at the bar. And Cliff's like, where's Norm? And Frasier's like, kind of really kind of maudlin. He's like, Norm was really, really depressed after the prank. And he's been moping around the pool room. And Cliff is like, well, we were just joking there. And Frasier's like, I'll go see him. I'll go talk to him. And Frasier walks into the dark, and then he kind of backs up. He's like, oh my God, this very exaggerated exclamation. And then we see what appears to be Norm, but his head is severed and he is holding his head in his hand going, Cliffy. And Cliff screams and points and like leaps over, like climbs backwards over the bar. And then they reveal that it was like Paul with like a wet rag, like a red rag over his head to simulate like the severed head part of the neck. And he's got like this black robe or something. And Norm was bent over and like Paul was holding his head in his hand or something. So yeah. It was all this prank stage. I mean, it only works if half of the room is in complete shadow. But for that half a second, it really, really works. Like, wow, that's cool.
It's the headless Norman.
The headless Norman. Nice. And yeah, Cliffy's screaming and everything, and they're like, yeah. So you just see like Fraser, like, yeah, go where the action is, I go where the jokes are, because he was quick to betray Cliff there. So
the fact that Carla Henry scene wasn't the end, which I still would have been okay with, that they gave us this extra scene that was just the icing on the cake, was just like that. Just really, it just makes like still my favorite episode.
I don't think they could leave with Cliff being the victor. I think they had to lay him low before they closed out. But yeah, I mean, gosh, like we're only halfway through the season, but this one is going to be hard to top for my favorite of this season, which will put it high up there when we come to my final ranking of all the episodes. But yeah, this is really, really good. I had such fun watching this again.
Yeah, it had such replayability. Like you could still laugh with every single. I still laugh. I've seen this episode 100 times, and I still laugh whenever I watch it.
For Norm's tab, Norm only had 2 beers this episode, just because like they were like the whole thing at the end. He's not having a beer, and they're like even in the teaser, which is all him and Carla, but it's outside the bar. So like the whole thing in the beginning, we only really see him with 2 beers. So that brings him up to 882 for the employee of the week. Who did you have?
I mean, you have to give it to Henri. I mean, it's just his entrance was just perfect. He nailed everything. And as much as I felt like this episode was really like everybody doing exactly what needed to be done and how funny everybody was, every little thing was. But it's Henri's entrance. It's his episode.
Yeah, I mean, Woody is terrific in this episode, but Woody has already been the MVP for so many episodes, and he will continue to get more opportunities. Henri will only have a few more opportunities, but yeah, I had to give it to Henri for this one, too. Just like coming in, stealing the show, such a great performance. And yeah, for the home runs, I wrote down 3, and I could have written down a whole lot more. In no particular order, the first one I thought of was the entire back of the barn exchange with Woody and Sam. Like, that's where the compost heap is.
I mean, I could have just wrote them all on the wall and threw a dart. But it's like I wrote down a whole bunch, and then I just said, you know what, I'm just gonna pick 3. When Sam tells Henri, that's a real solid argument. Like, just the way he did it. That was one of mine.
Yeah.
I love that one so much. I really loved Norm going, you married a cow. Like, just the way he did it. I think that was something that was quoted a lot of times when I see things and other people who have watched it.
I think my third one would be when Woody mentions the couple that teaches art at the high school. Like, they're the one couple that had premarital sex, which apparently is widely known around the town.
And also the first when Fraser goes, help me. That always gets me awesome.
And that's not kind of any of like the physical humor, like I said, like the whole chase scene with the chair and everything, which is amazing. And then the 2 different pranks with the severed head gags and everything, and those are great. And Woody getting his head stuck behind the vibrating bed, like just so much stuff. But yeah, the writing is so
amazing. It's really hard to nail down, you know, a 3, because I didn't even think I counted. I think I counted 96 times there was a joke that I would have went like laughed at, and out of like 22 minute episode, I was like, it's like more than a third of the episode I would have been laughing, like such a great episode.
Amazing. All right, well, Eric, thank you very much for being on this episode of Cheers Cast again. Where else can people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at This Is DAM. This Is Damn. I'm trying to work on some things, some music and stuff like that. And maybe one day do my own podcast, but who knows? I did want to mention Rob Long, one of the writers.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up writing for Sullivan and Son. I don't know if you ever watched it.
I know the show, but I never watched it.
Yeah, so he ended up writing for Sullivan and Son, which was, everybody said, was basically a cheer. It was a bar. It was Steve Byrne, a comedian. He ran a bar. It was basically a Cheers-like show. So it's funny how he ended up writing another about a bar.
Interesting. Yeah. I'd have to take a look at that.
Mm. And also, so now I've done a Cliff episode, a Sam episode, a Norm episode, and a Woody episode. So for the sake of diversity, I think I'm going to have to do a Rebecca or Carla episode next.
Yeah, next season. I'll look for one of those for you. All right. Well, thanks again for being on this episode. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, au revoir.
I can't believe Kelly would be so mad at me just because I stood up to Henri. It's like she's starting to like him better than me. Hey, Sam, you don't think that maybe they've been to...
To the back of the barn?
I was going to say to bed together. What is the back of the barn? What is that? That's where the compost heap is. I can't think of any place less romantic.